Ramsey TV.
I hope everybody watches the video published yesterday by Rodney Paris and I. Grace Cafe, 1999, 1000 AM, WCCD, Cleveland, Ohio. Largest Christian radio station there. And myself and five others exposed the false teaching of eternal torment, and we positively taught the truth of the salvation of all. This is an especially good show because at the beginning, I am passionate about explaining to people how Christians don't really want the salvation of all to be true. The way I put it is, Christians say they want good news as long as it's not too good. No, they don't want it to be too good. And so there's a pride involved. There's a jealousy involved. I'm not going to go into it here because I go into it there. So there's a link below. Watch yesterday's video. And I gave a shout out to Rodney Paris on Friday, but I'm going to say again that this man works tirelessly. I mean, he takes these audio tapes from 25 years ago and he pays attention to every word and he applies video and text frames to match the audio. I mean, it's really hard work. And I know it takes him hours to do each show and he does it free of charge. I don't pay him to do this. It's a passion that he has. He's the one that came to me last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago now. I wouldn't know. He's the one that came to me and said, you know, you have all these tapes. We have to get these out. I mean, he has a call from God to do this. And if I don't give him enough credit, bad on me. But he is doing amazing work every weekend. And again, I love watching these. It's great hearing them again for the first time in many, many years. And then to see what he does with them, to bring them alive. It's just an amazing multimedia experience, and you need to send it to all your friends because, as I've said, it lends it legitimacy, the fact that we're on Christian radio. Some people will be impressed by that fact. I was impressed by it. It's amazing we lasted as long as we did. Now, I've been pretty excited about this verse in 1 Corinthians 3:23. All is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. Everything belongs to us. And Paul has a list here, and I've gone through the list except for the men he mentions at the beginning. I'm going to read this passage again. All is yours. I'm going to start at verse 21. All is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Now, Cephas is Peter. All is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or that which is impending. I may still milk more out of this because many of you are telling me we want more. This is an amazing passage. It's an overlooked passage. We never knew that it was really there. I know. I've read over it many times and I just, maybe it's too fantastic to me. It seemed too fantastic to actually stop and think of what Paul was actually saying here. But why does he mention himself and Apollos and Peter? Why would Peter be ours? Peter being the chief of the circumcision gospel, the gospel God gave to Abraham, the gospel God gave to Israel. In what way is Peter ours? That's a great question, and I'm going to explain it today on MZTV. Welcome to the show. I'm Martin Zenner, and you are at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula with me, broadcasting from my car. As always, we have to look at the context. Paul says he's getting after the Corinthians because they were fleshly and they were considering people only after the flesh. For he says, for whenever anyone may be saying, I indeed am of Paul, yet another, I of Apollos, will he not be fleshly? What then is Apollos? Now, what is Paul? Servants are they through whom you believe. And the important point I want to make here is that this concerns teaching. This is going to be important when I tell you how the chief of the circumcision evangelist is yours. Peter is yours. How is Peter yours? Context, context, context. We're in the context of teachers. You notice who's not mentioned here in the beginning of chapter 3. Where's Cephas? Where's Peter? Paul goes on to say, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants are they through whom you believe. and as the Lord gives to each. I plant, Apollos waters, God causes the growth. Here we, again, we see these men as teachers, but no mention of Peter. Why? Well, we're going to find out here, because only when the topic comes up of all being yours is Peter mentioned. Paul and Apollos were teachers in accord with the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God, the transcendent grace of God. That is, no circumcision, no baptism, no law, no rites of any kind, no Sabbath observance, just pure unadulterated grace, saved apart from works. That's the gospel that Paul and Apollos were heralding. And so, because the Corinthians were grabbing onto this teaching, they were taking sides. It's like they had trading cards, and they had Paul trading cards, and they had Apollos trading cards. They probably had Epaphras trading cards, maybe even Aquila and Priscilla trading cards. And they were comparing the teachers, maybe, but they were claiming to be of a certain teacher. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. Paul said, hey, we're all the Lord's. Don't play favorites. We're all the Lord's. So take us all as from the Lord. We are servants. And Paul goes on to say, because he plants, Apollos irrigates, God causes the growth. Neither is he who is planting anything, nor he who is irrigating anything, but God. So Paul is saying, cool your jets. I know you like us, and I know we're doing you a great service, and we're thankful for it, but put away the trading cards, really. We don't want to be stars. We don't want to be celebrities. We're nothing compared to Christ. That's the main thing. Let's keep our focus on Christ. But you don't see Cephas here. We don't see Cephas coming in until Paul says in our great verse here in 1 Corinthians 3, 21 and 23, all is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Well, we've visited Paul and Apollos, but what's Cephas doing here? All right, I'm going to tell you. But first, let's look at the context that follows. After Paul says, all is yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or that which is impending, all is yours, you are Christ, yet Christ is God's. He says, thus let a man be reckoning with us as, here it is, chapter 4, verse 1, deputies of Christ and administrators of God's secrets. And then he goes on to say what the qualifications of an administrator should be. So once again, I need to make you sure that the context here is teachers, administrators of God's secrets. Teachers, teachers, teachers. And so now that you know that, we're looking at Peter in this context in the realm of a teacher. So here's the breakthrough truth. And I'm going to start the breakthrough truth. See, I'm still teasing you a little bit with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Paul says, I have become imprudent. You compel me, for I ought to be commended by you. Apparently, the Corinthians at this time were disparaging Paul because Paul was weak in presence. And Paul being weak in presence, it was hard to believe that this guy was the man. It was hard to believe when you were with Paul because he was so unassuming, so weak in presence that he was the chief apostle. And he was the man given a new gospel to non-Israelites. He was the man who was inaugurating the era of the nations. To walk with the guy, to eat with him, you could hardly believe it. And so people were disparaging him. I have become imprudent. In other words, he's going to start honking his horn a little bit. You compel me. I ought to be commended by you, for I am not deficient in anything pertaining to the paramount apostles, even if I am nothing. So he has to remind him, I'm still nothing. However, even though I'm still nothing, I will tell you this, I am not deficient in any knowledge, not even to the paramount apostles. And here he's talking about the men who walked with Jesus Christ, including mainly Peter. Peter was a bona fide celebrity. I mean, he had walked with Jesus Christ. Paul walked with the resurrected Christ. But he had personal communication with the glorified Christ. He couldn't, let's say, he couldn't prove it. He didn't take a selfie. That was his mistake. He didn't take a selfie with him and the glorified Christ. He should have done that. If he had done that, he would have begrudgingly pulled out the selfie and said, well, I know Christ too. And he would show a picture of him and like this giant light or something like that. Very impressive, but no. So, humans being humans, they tend to celebrate those of great notoriety. And anyone who had walked with Jesus Christ when he was on earth during his public ministry, those were notables. Peter, James, and John. Those were the big boys. That was the Holy Trinity of circumcision celebrities. Paul was not among them, even though he heard from the glorified Christ. But again, no selfies. So Paul has to remind them that he is not deficient in anything. And then he goes on, the poor guy, he says, I've become imprudent. In other words, I shouldn't even be saying this, but you people are forcing me to say this by treating me like some kind of second-class apostle. Indeed, the signs of an apostle are produced among you in all endurance, besides in signs and miracles and powerful deeds. Again, the reason God worked in signs and powerful deeds with Paul, because the guy needed it, because he didn't have the selfie. So he needed signs and wonders and miracles at first to establish him. But it was always God's intention to get rid of the signs and the miracles so that the believers could be based completely on faith. But these things were essential for Paul. See, we don't realize that. We think, oh, Paul's an Israel guy because some of the signs he did were also being done in Israel. Thus, people get confused and say, well, Paul must be an Israel guy. Paul's early letters must be Israel letters. This is the mistake Clyde Pilkington makes. And it's also the mistake that Charles Welch made before him. It's like, oh, look at all these Israel signs. Must be Israelite letters. No, Paul didn't have a selfie. If he had the selfie with the glorified Christ, he wouldn't have needed all these signs and miracles. But here's the thing. He reminds them that he's not deficient to any of the paramount apostles. In another place, he says, I'm not deficient in knowledge. Here we go. No one knew the circumcision gospel better than Paul, who used to be a Pharisee named Saul before Christ changed him. He was an expert in the circumcision gospel. He knew as much about it or more as Peter did. Probably more. Peter was a fisherman before he got hijacked by Jesus Christ. Paul probably knows more about the circumcision gospel than even the chief apostle. And of course, no one knew more about the gospel of the transcendent grace of God than Paul. So Saul, as a Pharisee, had mastered the circumcision gospel, being a Pharisee. Peter was never a Pharisee. He was a freaking fisherman. Probably didn't adhere maybe too closely to the rites of Israel, okay? He was kind of a rough dude. Probably blew a lot of it off, I'm guessing, knowing the human condition as I do, being one of them. So Paul had to remind people that he was not deficient in any way. But his gospel, we know, is higher. It's more transcendent than the gospel of the circumcision. So now, going back to our passage, Cephas is yours in that the teaching, remember, that's our context, the teaching of Peter and the circumcision gospel is also ours. We encompass it. We have a transcendent message, and it is greater. I can say it. I'm not afraid to say it. It's greater than the message given to Israel. It's higher. It's more glorious. It concerns not just one nation, Israel. The circumcision concerns only one nation, Israel. True, that nation will reach all the other nations during the 1,000 years, but our evangel covers the entire universe and all humanity. Much higher, much higher. Don't feel bad to say it. Some people don't want to even say it. Alan Hess can't stand to think that he has a greater Paul call than Peter. Can't stand it. And so he lowers Paul's gospel to the level of Peter's gospel because he doesn't feel like, how can I have a call bigger than Peter? Well, you didn't make it up, dude. This is Jesus Christ's thing. So the knowledge that we have is superior even to the circumcision message. This is why Paul says that even Cephas, even Peter, even the chief of the apostles, who was commissioned by Jesus Christ, the terrestrial Jesus Christ on earth, to head the kingdom during the millennium, even that guy's yours. That guy's not up here. Peter's not up here. And we're down here. That's what those of the nations thought in Antioch when Peter was sitting with them and fellowshipping with them until the James gang came in. And then Peter, making some excuse to leave the table, probably going to get more potato salad or whatever. Excuse me, guys, I got to get some more potato salad. Comes back and sits in a different place. And Paul would not have it. Called him out. Say, you hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. So the nations would have thought, oh, we knew it, you know, Peter's greater, there comes James, here comes John, we knew we were second-class citizens. No, you're not. You're not. In fact, if you want to know something, your message is superior to their message. So in that way, Cephas, Peter, is ours. The circumcision gospel is ours. I told you that just because we are going to be taken into the celestial realm to sit at the right hand of God, we're still administrating heaven and earth. Christ is going to reconcile all things in the heaven and on the earth. And we are in charge of the earth. We're in charge of it. Doesn't mean we're there. And it doesn't mean that David's not there sitting on the throne. It doesn't mean that the 12 aren't there. It doesn't mean that the 144,000 aren't going to the four corners of the earth, making the knowledge of the glory of God cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Of course that's going to be happening. But we are still administrators of it. We're over it. We're over it all. Many of you get the wrong idea that like we're restricted to heaven or there's this wall. I mean, there's a wall between the messages of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. And we don't want anything to bleed across. But as far as being rulers and reigners, the earth is at our feet. We're up there. The earth is at our feet. The earth is our footstool. If the earth is the Lord's footstool, then it's ours. I just told you the other day, I think it was Friday, that the earth is yours. The earth is ours and the fullness thereof. And so the message that belongs to earth is also ours. And the person who was in charge of that message, Peter, he's ours. That's what Paul is saying here. This is incredible. Folks, the knowledge we have is the highest knowledge on the planet earth. And as I hinted at Friday, I didn't hint at it. I actually said it. Our knowledge makes the knowledge of Einstein look like 1 + 1 = 2. It's so superior to everything. It's the highest knowledge anybody can have. I was watching a video the other day. It was an interview with Steve Perry, the front man for Journey, right? A great balladeer. And he was being interviewed by this guy on the radio, and the radio guy was saying, you know, how much his music influenced his life and touched him. And yeah, I get it. I feel the same way about the Beatles. You know, their music influenced a bunch of people, but it influenced a bunch of musicians who played more songs, who influenced other musicians who played more songs. And yeah, you might listen to a song and feel great for a while. That song lifts me up. So yeah, I give these people credit. Steve Perry, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, all these people. I give them all credit for writing great songs and lifting the spirits temporarily when you hear these songs. It makes you feel good. But this is child's play. These are tinker toys compared to the knowledge we have. But we tend to write it off. We tend to belittle it or disparage it because it's not accepted. It's not roundly believed or celebrated. That is going to change. And when we are given our rightful place, when this world has changed and the tribulation comes and everybody's dying for a word of God, everybody's dying, our message is going to be real important then, and nobody's going to give a damn about the White Album or any Journey album. Nobody's going to give a damn about one love feeds the fire, or one heart burns desire. Nobody's going to give a damn about that. Sorry, Steve Perry. I'm not saying your work wasn't important. Everybody has important work to do. And these singers entertain us, and they help us get through a difficult life. But when the tribulation starts, And all of that becomes so insignificant and small. Then what we believe is going to be so huge, and it's going to finally be seen in its rightful place. Then you're going to realize then what I'm telling you now. And I want you to realize it now, that the knowledge we have is superior to the knowledge Cephas had, Peter. That's what Paul is saying here. All is yours, including Peter. Not only are we yours, Paul and Apollos, of course, we're your servants. That's obvious. He just is introducing the whole topic, starting slow with Paul and Apollos. Then he gets more serious by saying Peter. And then we're, what? Peter's ours? Yeah, he's getting more serious there. Then he says life and death in the world and the present and what is impending. Then he just blows the lid off it. But he starts small. Paul and Apollos, we're yours, of course. We're your servants. Even though you diss us sometimes, you don't respect us sometimes, but we're kicking ass. We're God's people. We're God's appointed men. And we're not deficient, Paul says. Well, I'm not deficient in any knowledge. And he uses that. Kind of like in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul starts criticizing those who say that there's no resurrection. He's like, what do you mean there's no resurrection? There's no resurrection that not even Jesus Christ has been raised. You know, if Christ hasn't been raised, in vain is your faith. You're still in your sins. Then he goes on to say, not only has Christ been raised, not only is there a resurrection, but Christ is the first fruit from among the dead. And as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be not only raised from the dead, but vivified beyond the reach of death. How's that? You like that? I like it a lot. I like it a lot. So wait for it. What we believe now is going to be so popular someday, and people are going to be scraping for it, desperate for it, panning for it, just like they were when the ark door closed. It's like, oh, we like this ark. All of a sudden, we really like this boat you've been building for 100 years. Where were you 100 years ago? Yeah, you weren't too crazy about it then. Now that you see it's your only, it's the most important thing in the entire world, this craft built of gopher wood and sealed with pitch. How do you like it now? Yeah, we like it now. Well, you're not getting in. Sorry. So how do you like our message now? People who just went through the tribulation and are dying for a word about what's happening. How do you like us now? Because we will have been snatched away already, and we will be returning to earth as more famous than Steve Perry. Even more famous than Steve Perry, as great as he is. And they're going to be gasping for the truth. And we're going to be administrators of the truth. But that is how great our message is. Believe it, live it, love it.